Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here, and we've got a special podcast coming up tonight. We are going to be discussing some of the issues that have been going on during this season of Survivor Worlds Apart. And this is a podcast that had been requested from a lot of people, talking about some of the social issues happening inside of this game, not necessarily from a strategic standpoint, but from how these issues are affecting women, both inside the game and outside the game, and how the fans are being affected by some of the stuff, some of the ugly incidents that we've seen this season. So I've assembled a round table of women from the Survivor fandom community, and we're going to have a what I hope to be an interesting discussion here live on Sunday night. Now, before I get to that show, I have a quick message from our sponsor that I want to get out there. And those are our friends over at Pro Flowers. And of course, there's no better way to show your mom how much you appreciate her than with flowers from proflowers.com, because Pro Flowers is offering our listeners 100 blooms, not Mike Bloom, 100 blooms with a free glass vase for just $19.99. Or you could make her day extra special with a premium vase and add chocolates for just $9.99 more. You can go to proflowers.com today and use this promo code Reality TV. That's Reality Space TV. Because, you know, if you're anything like my mom, she could use the flowers. That it was bad enough when Joe got voted off, but now she's got to sit through all of this ugliness each week on Survivor. The proflowers.com website makes buying a beautiful gift for your mom simple and quick. And Pro Flowers are guaranteed to be fresh and beautiful for at least 7 days. So choose the delivery date that you want. And once you set the date for the delivery, it's done, and you don't have to worry about getting that gift for mom for Mother's Day. So here's the only way to get 100 blooms with a free glass vase for just $19.99. Visit proflowers.com. Click the blue microphone at the top right corner. Type in Reality TV. That's proflowers.com. On the microphone, type in Reality TV. Order today, because this offer expires Friday night. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here for a special edition of Rob Has a Podcast. I know over the last few days since this week's episode of Survivor, I've been hearing from a lot of people about how they were uncomfortable with the last episode of Survivor. And while we talked about it a lot with Survivor Know-It-Alls and in my podcast with Richard Hatch and Colin Stone, I had said that I felt badly that the way I booked the show, I didn't happen to have any women on with me this past Thursday, so I wanted to correct that and get some women's voices talking about what we just saw this past Wednesday. So I have established a fantastic roundtable here tonight on a special edition of Rob Has a Podcast. Okay, first let me introduce you to who's going to be on the show with us tonight. Let me introduce you to somebody who is a newcomer to the show. Heather is joining us. She is an RHAP listener and a Survivor fan, and she is also a licensed marriage and family therapist. She answered the call this week, and please welcome Heather Cozen to the podcast. Heather.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, thank you for jumping in. Heather responded to me via email after the last podcast, said that as a person who's listening to the podcast, she felt like she had a lot of stuff to add to this conversation. So thank you for being with us tonight, Heather.
You're very welcome.
Okay. Of course, next up is somebody who's no stranger to Rob Has a Podcast and Rob has a website. She writes her weekly blog for us here on robhasawebsite.com. Please welcome back Sarah Freeman from Individual Games.
Hi, Rob. Thank you for the introduction.
Yes, Sarah. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Very happy to hear from you as always.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here as always.
Okay. All right. And joining us here is another Survivor podcaster. She is one of the voices that you hear on the Tribe podcast. She is one of the more prominent Survivor voices in terms of feminism issues. Here she is, Shandy. And Shandy, don't make me try to pronounce your last name.
That's fine.
How do you say it?
Well, in English, Lemperle is fine.
Lemperle. Okay. Yeah. Shandy also just finished a marathon today. So that boy, has anybody ever done a marathon and RHAP in the same day? I know I haven't. I don't think it's been done. I don't think it's been done before. But Shandy, thank you for joining us. So you came. I heard from a lot of people on Twitter. You need to have Shandy as part of this podcast. So happy that you can be here with us tonight.
Well, thanks for asking me. I'm very happy and excited to be here.
Good, good. All right. So, I mean, what I'd like to do here tonight in this podcast is, you know, my goal here is that, you know, I don't want it to just turn into or just be just bagging on Will and Dan the entire time. Now, and again, I'm sure that's going to come up, but I don't want to do a podcast just to sort of bash those guys. I would rather talk about some of the issues that are going on and why this has come up at this point in time based on what we saw and why so many people are into this. And let me just start with you, Sarah, because I know that you are such a student of the game. Why do you feel like at this point in time in this season, so many people are having issues with the treatment of women on Survivor?
The people watching the show or the people in the show?
The people. Let's start with the people watching the show.
I think in some cases, Shireen's situation on Survivor is sadly not uncommon. There's so often somebody who's been bullied. In this instance, it's unfortunate. I mean, a lot of people identify with Shireen anyway because she's a super fan. It's unfortunate that she's also a woman of color and that she has experienced domestic violence in the past. And that, I think, is what's really resonating with people this time. I don't know if looking back at all the other people who've been bullied, we're necessarily getting worse things said to Shireen than have been said to other people in the past. But it's watching this week's episode was deeply uncomfortable for me in a way that I don't think I've ever really experienced before. I remember at the end of the episode, I was thinking, I don't want to write a blog this week. And I was processing that for at least a day, trying to process how I was going to handle this.
Yeah. And I noticed in your blog that you focused more on the strategy. And I don't know if you really did you even touch on this part of it?
I've not written last week's blog is up, but this week's one isn't. I don't think I can write about it this week without touching on the emotions. So I'm still writing it, but I have in the initial draft, we're going to start talking about the emotions before moving into the strategy beyond the emotions. So, yeah. Okay.
So Shandy, I want to hear from you. Now, there's been a lot of strong language that has come out of this, specifically in the last couple of days. Shireen has referred to what happened as an act of misogyny. Is that a fair assessment of what has been going on this season? That specifically, Shireen had tweeted, for every act of misogyny this season, I will donate $100 to the National Network to End Domestic Violence, relying on fans to help me count. First off, just tell me, what is your assessment of that? Are you willing to put that label on what happened?
Oh, absolutely. And I think one of the things that's been really disappointing for me throughout this whole season is that we've seen so many of these acts of misogyny. And I know you guys talked about it a bit with Colin. There's been other instances of like bullying or mean language, basically people saying mean things to each other. But I think what we really have to look at here is the way that it ties into gender-based violence and the past with that. And I think that now maybe more than in seasons past as a society, we're a little bit more attuned to those kinds of things and ready to address them. And so when we see this, it shocks us maybe a little bit more than it would have like 10 years ago.
Okay. And then in terms of, you know, what was said versus, you know, who it was said to, if what Will said was said to say to Dan, then how would we label that?
Well, I mean, that might be just an instance of bullying, but the dynamics are so different between those two people, Will and Dan. That's just completely different. Whereas here you have, and I think you talked about this with Steven a bit on Know-It-Alls, you have basically he's singled out the person who is least able to defend herself. So it's even worse because he's really picking on someone that he knows that he can have the power over. And then again, to add all of the other layers of gender and things like that, it just makes it much worse than if it had been, Will and Dan, which I'm not saying it would have been great if it was Will and Dan. Definitely not. That would have still been incredibly mean.
Right.
But it just takes on a different dimension when it's directed at someone like Shireen.
So, Heather, let me just play devil's advocate here for a minute. So I'm sure if somebody was to speak to Dan or to speak to Will, and I don't want to put words in their mouth, and they'd have a easy enough time on their own putting words in their own mouth. But if I suspect that those guys would say, look, this doesn't have to do with my opinions about women. It's this particular woman. And I think that they would probably both argue that, don't you think it's a coincidence that both of us had problems with this same woman, but we're not fighting with Mama C or Sierra or any of the other various women that were on the show this season? The fact that they would say that it was Shireen in particular, and not women in general, does that help their case at all, or does that not matter?
I think that might help the case a little bit for misogyny, but it doesn't help the case for bullying. And, I don't know Shireen personally. She may have a little bit of post-traumatic stress disorder from the abuse that she's made reference to have experienced growing up. So maybe some of her responses when they're, attacking her might be a little bit different than someone else's.
Yes. Sarah, do you feel like that? I mean, did we hit any new lows in this past week's episode? Things that were like, was that a new level for Survivor of bullying that we haven't seen before?
I kind of feel it's a yes and no question. We've certainly seen it before where a group has gone for the one person that has no resources to fight back. I think the thing, I mean, if you look at the first argument they had, I would say both Shireen and Will were crossing lines with the personal attacks they made. Sierra has a secret scene this week where she describes it, and she says they were both crossing a line and they both should have walked away. The point that really hit me was at Tribal Council when Will and let's note that it was Will who made the decision to have this out at Tribal Council, because he was saying to Jeff at the challenge, bring the popcorn, it's going to be a good one. Mm-hmm. So Will was making his point, and Shireen tried to explain her background, which at this point she really has a responsibility to do. She has to explain why these comments are hurting her so much. And Will spoke over her. He wouldn't let her finish, and he said she's playing the victim. And that was the point. It's like, well, I know you don't like her, and this probably doesn't fit your narrative of you being the good guy and she being the petty person who's taken something away from you. But she's still a human being. She still needs to be listened to. And whatever your opinion of her, that doesn't change the fact that she has been through this experience. So that was the bit I really didn't like, that he just completely dismissed her and really just minimized, I think, the whole issue of domestic violence at that point with those words. She's playing the victim.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jenny, is that what it was for you? The fact that he referred to Shireen as playing the victim, was that where things took a turn, or was the damage already done?
I think the damage was already done, but that was like the icing on the cake. I mean, that is language that we hear all the time in mainstream society to basically keep patriarchy in place and to downplay what happens to women and to blame the victims. So for him to say, oh, she's playing the victim, that's very, very charged.
Yeah.
It's language you hear in race issues as well, which is why it's particularly sad that Will was doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I also want to talk about, we had a couple of weeks ago, the first time I feel like this season, and maybe there was another incident that I'm missing, but I feel like the comments that Dan made about Shireen in that episode when he was talking about, will someone please come down and slap her, slap this woman, and talking about what he said. Now, again, that part wasn't to Shireen's face. Shandy, does that make a difference? The stuff that Dan says to us about Shireen, and is that better or worse or more damning or less damning than the stuff that Will is saying directly to Shireen?
I think it's better for his game that he's not saying it to her face, but I think that it's just as damning. I was just as shocked by that. And that language also, shutting women up, slapping them, I think it was just as bad. And so, I mean, you can talk about race as well in terms of this whole reaction and, you know, why there's been such a strong reaction with the incident with Will. You can pose the question, is there an element of racism there? I'm not at all defending what he did, and I think it was, horrible. But why wasn't there the same reaction for what Dan said? And there was. You know, a lot of people were upset about that too, but we're not doing an emergency podcast about that, whereas we are now. So it's an interesting question to look into, and just shows that there are multiple problems with what happened, basically.
Mm-hmm. Heather, do you think that part of the problem is the response after the show from these guys about these incidents? You know, I believe, and again, I don't want to misrepresent this, and if anybody on the panel feels otherwise, please let me know. But I feel like in the days following the Dan and Shireen thing, I feel like there was a lot of, hey, it was just a joke. It was out of context, it was sarcasm. And then I think Dan ultimately did apologize a few days later. And then I believe Shireen tweeted that you can't apologize in 140 characters on Twitter. And then following this incident, I believe that Will, there's been no apology made or seeming any regret from the Will camp made on social media, hashtag Dirty 30. Heather, what do you think that had there been some sort of a, you know, mea culpa or some sort of a, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed that this happened and I didn't mean it. Would that change anything?
I do think that would have helped at least a little bit. I think what was the most shocking for me was the lack of self-awareness both on the show and after, you know, when it came out. From Will, he just really seemed to not have any understanding of what he did and why it was wrong, and he's still doing that. So that's definitely concerning.
Yeah. How about the way that Shireen has handled this? I just would love to know from you guys on the panel. Do you guys like Shireen is seemingly taking this incident and making it into part of a cause? What do you think of that, Sarah?
I think it's a great way to raise awareness of domestic violence. I mean, I don't know if I'm sure you're going to be raising this later. I know a lot of people were saying they were uncomfortable with it being shown. I think absolutely it should be shown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think good for Shireen. I probably actually like to see more acknowledgement that domestic violence is not just a women's issue. You know, it's violence against men also happens, also bad. But yeah, I think it's, you know, it's a reality show. And what we forget is that part of that reality is the whole great human experiment, which we don't really talk about these days anymore. But these things are still happening. And I think it's great that this is getting to be featured. It sucks for people like Will and Dan and also Rodney who are getting the sort of, who are illustrating how this misogyny and just unfortunate remarks can happen. But it is important. I think it's a lesson for us all that, you know, this is still happening. This is something you still need to think about. It's not okay to just joke about violence in that way.
Do you include the comments that Rodney made earlier in the season as in part of this discussion?
I would. Rodney at one point said that he wanted to spank Lindsay like a bad baby. And if that doesn't belong in a domestic violence discussion, you know.
Right, right.
And to be fair, Lindsay said that she wanted to break his jaw and feed it to him. So let's put that in as well. Also yes. Not appropriate.
Well, Rodney holds women to a higher standard. He'd like to see women serve to a higher standard. Shani, could you just touch on a little bit of, Shireen taking this moment from the game and bringing attention to a cause and what you think that means in terms of Survivor?
I think it's great because you have to wonder, where is the response from Jeff? We haven't seen that as far as I know. Where's the response from CBS? So if they're not going to be responsible and have at least some sort of response to this really important thing that happened, then of course, thank God that Shireen is doing it. And, you know, just like Sarah said, is spreading awareness and at least reacting to what happened, because it's just also, I think, symptomatic of the greater problem that Jeff and CBS have just been completely silent.
Great. Can you talk about what sort of a response would you have liked to have seen? Let's start from I'm gonna group Survivor and CBS as the same thing, even though they're not. What sort of response would you have wanted to see from the show/network, Shandy?
Well, first and foremost, just acknowledging it. I think that would have been really helpful.
In what way would you like to have seen it acknowledged? In some sort of a, you know, card a la Big Brother?
Don't follow Big Brother, so I don't know what this card is.
Well, the card came in Big Brother 15 that there was a lot of race-related things that ended up happening. And they used to have like, and I believe they still might into Big Brother 16 have an intro like, well, the views that you're about to see on the show, you know, are don't affect the views of Big Brother, and these house guests are monitored live 24/7 and something like that. Would you have wanted to see something even before the incident happened, or you wanted to see the show comment after the incident?
I mean, I don't necessarily need like a disclaimer or a trigger warning or something like that, but just from Jeff, who tweets a lot about the show, for him to just at least send something out via Twitter, I think that would have been enough. I don't necessarily think that at this point we need some big explanation or warning from CBS per se, but I just think that the absence of any sort of tweet, again, there's only so much you can say in 140 characters, just like Shireen said, but it would have been, I think, powerful and important for him to acknowledge what happened and that it's an important issue. And, you know, no matter what side you come down on, this was something that happened in the game. And, you know, maybe starting a conversation about it like that.
Okay. Heather, what I want to know is a lot of people have said, or not a lot of people, I've read some people said that, you know, this kind of stuff doesn't belong in the show. Maybe the show shouldn't have shown us these things, shown us the comments that Dan made, or shown us, you know, some of the uglier points of this fight between Will and Shireen. Do you agree with that? That, you know, seeing it is worse than not seeing it, or does seeing it help raise awareness in ways that not seeing it couldn't?
I think that seeing it helps raise awareness in ways that not seeing it couldn't. I definitely like that Shireen had an opportunity to raise her hand and deny Will of his letters to kind of take a bit of her control back. And I really do like that Shireen is, you know, putting this website out there and asking people to help support it. I looked a little bit at that website and it looked amazing. They have a hotline, they have all kinds of statistics and information. So I think raising awareness is a good thing. I think it's okay that it was in the show. It definitely triggered me. And I haven't personally experienced domestic violence, so I could imagine if someone that has watched it, they would definitely be triggered by it.
As a therapist, do you think that there is potentially anybody that might have watched Survivor this past week and might change the way that they are approaching their situation now because of what was shown? Or the response?
You mean somebody that's in a domestic violence situation?
I'd say that there was a woman who's in a relationship who's being verbally abused. Do you think that is it possible that, and I know this is very a hypothetical situation, yeah, but do you feel like does this seem like something that might help somebody?
I could see that it could help someone if they, you know, watched Shireen's reaction. And I think she actually handled it amazingly. She had a lot of poise in the moment. And obviously I didn't see everything that happened out there. I know she was yelling back a bit, but she seemed very, you know, controlled. And then she talked about it to the people that she felt comfortable with and was able to really express herself and let her emotions out. And then she was kind of able to take her power back in some ways by raising her hand, as I said before. So I think if people watched it and then they looked at her Twitter and saw that you can get help or she inspired someone, I think that's very helpful.
Shandy, I know we have a lot of bullying that happens on Survivor, and you know, we've had it many times between, you know, men with other men. For instance, Rocky and Anthony in Survivor Fiji. And I went back, I actually watched a clip between Trish and Cass from just about a year ago this time. And some of the things that Trish was saying to Cass were not that far off from what Will was saying to Shireen the other night. So why don't we make as big of a deal about bullying when we see it on Survivor? Because I don't recall people being this upset when those other things had happened that were just clearly defined as bullying.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a couple things maybe at play there. For one thing, we should take them as serious, but I think as a society, we're just now sort of being a little bit more in tune with the concept of bullying and being a little bit more aware of it. And so maybe people don't have the same reaction yet. And that's definitely not saying, not excusing it, that they definitely should. But I think also this season in particular has been so sexist. I mean, I even said, I think that this could be recency bias, but as far as I can remember, this is the most sexist season that I've seen.
Could you talk about that in more detail? Why do you feel that way?
So the reason I feel that way is because I think that if you look at quantity, you're getting the most very blatantly sexist things happening on the part of the most people that we've ever seen. Like sometimes you'll have something happening that's sexist in a season, but it's just like one person that has remarks, or there's like undertones of sexism, but it's not as in your face, which is, you know, equally or more dangerous. But with this one, I just think we had so many things with the Rodney comments, like we talked about. For me, the way that he talked about her, what was really bad in that situation was particularly holding women to a higher standard. That, you know, that is super problematic. Then you had Dan on a couple of occasions, the way that he talked to Sierra, the way that he talked to Shireen. That is also just like so blatantly sexist. And then now this incident. So it's for that reason that I really see this as being just like overall a very sexist season on the part of many people. And that's why you just look at this cast and it's just surprising that we would have this many people doing this many awful things.
And do you feel like, is this a product of Survivor? Do you think that this is just a particularly sexist cast, or do you feel like there's a different explanation?
I mean, that's hard to answer because I think that I'm sure there are a lot of other things that happen on other seasons that we don't see. And all of these incidences are working into the story. So we're seeing them, you can't not see them. I think you can't not show what happened with Will and Shireen, because then the rest of the episode wouldn't make sense. But I think that you do have to look at Survivor as, CBS and Survivor and their casting choices, and the fact that I don't know who works at CBS or on Survivor, but I'm guessing that it's very high percent of men working there. I know that one of the main casting person is a woman, but overall the show, I'm guessing, and your listeners can correct me if I'm wrong, I assume that it's probably highly male centric. And so, you know, that can go into the casting and who they're choosing to be on the show, which is then, you know, coming through in these scenes.
Yeah, that I can't really speak to, you know, what the gender breakdown is. I don't think it's heavily skewed, you know, to be predominantly men on the production side. I don't know what the exact breakdown is, but you know, I get the sense that it's somewhat that it's somewhat even. But you know, it's hard because when you do go through casting, I guarantee you, Will did not say anything negative about women when we went through casting. So Sarah, is there a way that Survivor should try to screen out somebody who could have these tendencies if it was even possible? Or do you think we need them on the show?
I'm just thinking that when you had the Brandon Hans meltdown in Karamo, and I was like, yeah, you really shouldn't have brought Brandon back. But there's nobody on this season who stands out to me as somebody who is obviously going to be saying these things. And I mean, we all have our own takes on people. Like, for example, my take on Dan is that I don't think he is that misogynistic. He's got that same sort of, it's a product of his age and his background, probably. He's got a lot of sort of old fashioned views about women, I would think. And I think is his case, this is my take. I can't defend Dan because I don't know him. But my take is that it's more, he's just really talented at putting his foot in his mouth and saying the exact wrong thing.
Yeah.
But I think it's just these, you know, you never quite know what's going to happen in Survivor. And it's just this particular combination has added up to this perfect storm of people saying an inappropriate thing. And it's just gone haywire. Because I do feel like this is a good example of how we are all capable of saying terrible things without realizing it.
Sarah,
and offending people.
Yeah, I want to ask you a tough question. Has this impacted your enjoyment of this season of Survivor? And do you feel like this is a good season?
I think ultimately, looking back now, I think this is going to be a good season. I don't have the same problems some other people are having that, oh, the misogynists are winning because they're still here and it's the other people getting voted off. Mostly because I feel like we're getting slammed in the face with an underdog edit for Mike and Shireen. So if they go out next, then oh, I might have a sort of a problem with it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I do feel like the long story is going to be an uplifting one. I think it's a good season. I think it's one that I will enjoy more on a rewatch.
Yeah.
It's tough, especially when Jeff has hyped this up so much now that there's a thing of thinking, is just Jeff like it because of this drama? And is this drama necessarily something you should be hyping?
Okay. So. Shandy, does it matter to you at all how this turns out? I said on the podcast, you know, it's hard for me to weigh in on this story or to really, you know, say that, you know, it shouldn't have been in the show or anything like that, because I don't know how the story is going to end. And I thought it was a great moment when Shireen didn't give Will the letters, and I felt like it was such compelling TV. Do you feel like any part of this narrative is determined on, let's say next week, Shireen is the brains behind a Will blindside and sends Will home, and then the next week she tricks Dan into using his vote doubler wrong, and he gets voted out, and she gets the last laugh. Does that potentially change any of this for you?
Yeah, I mean, I agree that we haven't seen the whole season yet. We don't know exactly where this is going, and so a couple of things are possible. If, like Sarah was saying, Mike and Shireen go next, then we won't understand why all of this happened. There won't be any sort of satisfying end, and I will be really disappointed. But if, like you say, we see that Shireen ultimately comes out on top, and then we discover that maybe Jeff was waiting until that happened to address it, then yes, that would change things for sure. And I think that, you know, one of the things that I would really like to see happen would be for Shireen to go to the end with people like Will and Dan. And then in the end, for somebody like Jen in the jury to say, like, look, you treated Shireen horribly. What you said was awful. And then we as viewers could have a feeling of some resolution there and some, you know, wrong being righted. But, we have to wait in the coming weeks and see what's going to happen.
You know, one of the things that's inevitably going to happen is I'm going to do an exit interview, assuming that, you know, these guys want to talk to me or do exit press. I'm going to do an exit interview with these people. Shani, in your opinion, of the 15 minutes that I speak to, say Will, let's use Will as the example. How much of the 15 minutes should be spent talking about these issues?
Oh my God.
Let's say he gets voted out on Thursday.
Well, if he gets voted out on Thursday, then it's going to be really the, or Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Then
it's gonna be Thursday. Yeah.
Yes. It's going to be one of the last things in our memory of him. So I think that it would make sense to spend a lot of time on that. I mean, obviously there are other things that we'd maybe like to know as well, but that will be the big story. If he goes out more towards the end, then it will just depend on what happens in the show in the next couple of weeks. If he, I don't know, if he gets called out again for them, or if, I mean, I don't think he's going to apologize on the show if he hasn't apologized in life. But yeah, I don't, that's a really hard question. And I think that, it's probably at this point one of the most important things to talk about, but is he going to want to? I mean, maybe he'll want to defend himself. I don't know.
Okay. It'll be a good one. It'll be a good one no matter what. Heather, you know, we've seen on Twitter a lot and in all sorts of different, you know, communities online, misogynistic is thrown around. Do you feel like, is it dangerous to throw like labels like that around, or do you feel like it helps shine light on the subject matter we're talking about, which is very serious?
I guess for me, when I was watching it, I felt more the issue of domestic violence and also bullying more than misogyny. But I think there is a tone in the whole season of a bit of misogyny. That's not my expertise. So I definitely resonated more with the labels of domestic violence and bullying.
So let me ask you this question. And again, please forgive me if, you know, this is an obvious thing and I don't know. Is there a difference between domestic violence and verbal abuse? Or is domestic violence just, involve some sort of contact, or is domestic violence, could it also be verbal abuse?
So domestic violence is the umbrella term, and underneath that would be physical abuse, emotional abuse, verbal abuse, sexual abuse, and financial abuse.
Financial abuse? I didn't even know about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. So, and so in your, as a, you know, a therapist, you would clearly, label what we saw as an act of domestic violence.
Domestic violence is a term for partners or family members. So I don't think that was domestic.
So what
violence.
Would you call this?
I would call it, maybe more verbal abuse.
Verbal abuse.
Abuse, yeah, and also a bit of bullying.
Yes.
I think what happened, from my opinion, was that Shireen's old issues of, you know, domestic violence within her family got enacted. So she, you know, from what I saw, it looked like, you know, the crying, the freezing a bit. When people are in the middle of a trauma or a re-traumatization, they either have fight, flight, or freeze. So they'll either fight back, run away, or freeze. And from what I saw, it looked like she was kind of freezing in the moment. And then when she felt safe, she was able to discharge and let it out, cry. So it looked to me more like a bit of verbal abuse and then a re-traumatization from what she had experienced as a kid. And again, like, I don't know these people, I wasn't there, but this is what it looked like I saw.
Sarah, does Survivor have a responsibility to protect people from this sort of thing? So I'm not exactly sure what could happen, like, but does the production need to step in with something like that? Or is that against everything that Survivor stands for?
I mean, Heather might be able to answer this better, but I don't think when they were in the camp, it got to the point where production needed to step in. I mean, Shireen was obviously upset, but as Heather said, she seemed to handle it. And, you know, Mike was able to separate her. And at Tribal Council, I think I would have liked Jeff to say something at that moment when Will was talking over Shireen's explanation. I think I would have liked it if... And, you know, I can't really fault Jeff, because in that moment, he doesn't know what to do. He's not a professional psychologist, but... it would have been nice if he had been able to sort of say, stop things and let Shireen have her say and acknowledge the domestic violence being an issue and she's not just playing a victim. So that I would have liked, and I'd like to see this brought up at the reunion, actually, a bit about domestic violence.
Yeah, it's such an interesting point because, you know, for Jeff, he's wearing a lot of hats. You know, he's not only the moderator of the tribal council, but he's also the, you know, executive producer of the show. And is in charge of the content. And so he wants to create a compelling story. And I know he would probably be excited to see fighting at Tribal Council in a vacuum. I think he'd like to see more good-natured fighting and not fighting that's so ugly. So for him to sort of try to break up what's going on, it's a very tough spot to be in. Shandy, could you talk a little bit about that? Of what do you feel like Jeff's role at Tribal Council is as the person who's responsible for creating the show, or as in terms of bringing the show to the viewers every week?
Well, I mean, I think that he does try to be somewhat of a counselor, and just as Sarah was saying, the problem is that that's above his pay grade, so to speak. And so he doesn't always have
very
the tools
little
to
is
do
above
that.
Jeff's pay grade, by the way. Well,
figuratively.
Yeah, figuratively.
But I think that it's actually an interesting insight into him as a person that he likes to play that role so much. And we saw with his failed talk show that that he would like to be in that position. But, you know, and he does actually a pretty good job a lot of times. I think that he's... he asks the questions that we want to be asked at Tribal Council. And a lot of times he does do that very effectively, but maybe when it leaves the context of the game and goes into something bigger than this, he's not equipped to deal with it. And we saw that in that very awkward transition from this really heavy stuff going on with Shireen. And then Jeff just being like, so Sierra, what's going on with your position? And that seemed very awkward. And again, like we were saying with the Twitter thing, it would have been nice to see him maybe address something. And, he, you know, maybe he did and they just didn't air it. But then they should have aired it, I think, at least just to acknowledge the situation. But what is his role in that? I mean, I think that he needs to keep the peace a little bit and make sure that people play nicely. So just like Sarah was saying, it would have been nice for him to make sure that Will doesn't talk over Shireen and, you know, everyone gets their turn and to jump in a little bit more in that situation. But as far as the rest goes, he can only do what he can do. And, you know, he's not necessarily the best person to do that all the time for things like this.
I want to talk about some of the other players that were there during this incident, the players that didn't do anything. We saw Mike sort of jump in and then he became the person taking the brunt of the, you know, verbal tirade from Will. Will said, you know, that, you know, he called him a bitch and all sorts of other names like that. But there were other people there. I believe was Mama C there also?
I was just reading Michael Trudeau's recap today of the edit, and he said, because he was paying attention to these things, that
yes,
Mama C and Dan were the only ones not shown.
Not shown.
They so may have been there, but they weren't in evidence.
Okay.
So Tyler was there, Will was there, Rodney and Sierra.
Okay. So what about another, just take it from another woman's perspective of Sierra. What a tough spot to be in, I think, to, you know, to be there and also to not be in a great position yourself in the game, but to see somebody, you know, being on the brunt of, you know, some very hurtful language. What do you think that she needs to step up, or do you feel like that it's, are you upset with the other players for not stepping up?
I think it's easy to say they should have stepped up, but
I don't know what I would do. I said this yeah, on the podcast the other day. I don't know what I'd like to think that I would be.
You'd like to think you would, but you just don't know. And I was actually writing about this in my blog today, is that from the other player's point of view, Will is a pretty awesome guy. He missed out on his letter at the auction. He shared his rations. And now these three people, because they're on the outs, are complaining that he was hiding some of the food and having a go at his integrity. You know, the one guy didn't get his letter from home and is all cut up about it. At that point in the game, Will was an awesome guy and Shireen was the villain, you know. So from their perspective, I'm not going to say they felt Shireen deserved what she was getting, but it was like, you know, what did you think was going to happen? And I think they had a lot of sympathy for Will as well as Shireen. They're not looking at it in the same perspective we are as viewers. As I was saying in Sierra's secret scene, when she talked about it, she said, Will crossed the line, Shireen crossed the line, it just got personal again. It's because of paranoia and the way this game works. This is what it does to you. So she wasn't singling either of them out as being the bully and the victim. She was trying to be neutral about it, which I think is also part of who Sierra is as a person.
Shani, what would you like to see happen after this? Now, going forward, we can't change anything that happened, but coming out of this, what would you like to see as some sort of a, you know, ultimate silver lining or something that gets changed because of this?
In the game?
In the game, in general, in social media, is there anything that you would like to say, you know, to be able to go from here and then, you know, just assess what happened and then pivot to what?
I mean, again, I think that's really hard to address because in social media, what I would like to see happen is some acknowledgement. I would like to see it addressed at the reunion in a thoughtful way. I would really like to see Will and Dan and Rodney apologize for, you know, things that they said that were out of line. But I am not holding my breath on that. And then going forward, it's hard really to do much except to keep talking about these kinds of things to try to change the general culture. Because I think that, you know, we're having a really thoughtful conversation about this, but your average viewer, probably not so much. I suspect that a lot of average viewers might really sympathize with Will. And so that's probably that's problematic in and of itself and maybe a symptom of the bigger problem. So how do you change that within a show, or what does the show do to change that? It's really difficult for them to do something that's going to have a direct effect on the culture. But because they are a part of the culture and a product of the culture, then maybe they do look at casting a little bit differently. That's always possible.
Okay. So Heather, does Survivor, the show, the institution, they're sort of in a tough spot. You know, they did not cast a guy like Will to be out there as sort of like the guy who is, you know, says things to women. They cast him as sort of like this fun-loving guy, that he's really funny. He does Bon Jovi. I don't think that, and maybe this was the case with Dan, that they felt like, okay, he's going to put his foot in his mouth all the time. But I don't think that they cast Dan. I don't think, I watched his audition tape. He wasn't like, I'll tell you what, these women in Maine, I really put them in their place that, you know, so they're not putting him out there. And Rodney, who knows, but they don't know this stuff is going to happen. That's not why they put these people on the show. They don't control what they're going to say. It really does become like this crazy experiment when you put all of these people together in one place. So is there any culpability that we could put on Survivor itself for that, the fact that this happened?
I mean, I think something that Richard Hatch and you talked about was how, you know, these are people in a social experiment and they're kind of leaving the game. They're leaving their strategy because they're having these human emotions. I don't know that, first of all, Survivor, CBS, how can they really control these sides that are coming out of people when they're starving, sleep deprived, you know, their backs probably hurt from sleeping on the floor. So, I mean, how can they control that? I'd say what they have control over is the edit and the social media response, right? I mean, you can't control the sides of people that come out under those circumstances.
Okay. I want to open this up to some questions from the people that were that I told about this podcast, and also that are watching us live on the YouTube channel. So let's go ahead and open these up. And let's start off with Fair Play's grandma. And because I want to try to get to a bunch of different questions, unless somebody really disagrees with what somebody else on the panel had to say, I'd like to try to answer as many of these as we can here tonight. I know we only have a certain amount of time. Fair Play's grandma wants to know, do you feel like Shireen is completely the victim, or do you guys think that they're editing out the bad thing that she says? I know there's been some people that have said this. I believe I've seen social media posts from Dan saying that that we're not seeing the whole story. Shandy, you're shaking your head. that are they editing out what Shireen is saying? And even if Shireen is being like, hey, F you, Will Sims 2, you suck at karaoke, I don't like you, that you had, I saw there was a pizza in that box. So does that even matter?
I mean, this is an interesting point that gets back to what I've been saying this whole time. Why do we feel the need to really be on Will's side? Why do we feel the need to give him the benefit of the doubt? When what we saw, and yes, maybe she did say some mean things to him too, but what we saw was very clearly him verbally abusing her and then saying in quotes at tribal council that she was playing the victim. And there's,
well, cat sighting.
And so I think this just speaks to our culture as a whole, that we are going to give the benefit of the doubt to the man in the situation who's doing the abusing.
Yeah, that's the she was asking for it excuse.
Yeah, absolutely.
Quick chip in. Why can't it be both? She's definitely a victim here. She could also be saying terrible things. The two are not mutually exclusive.
Sarah, do you suspect that if Shireen was saying terrible things to Will to sort of provoke him or to Dan, do you feel like Survivor wouldn't show us that?
Well, that comes down to things like the winner's edit, doesn't it?
I guess so. But
some people are speculating. Some people may be getting return as edit. They want us to like them and so they can return the future, but that's another thing.
I just don't know. I mean, I can't think of the person that Survivor would, give them such a great edit where they would be like, that they would make it things completely one-sided and edit out all of their flaws. I mean, I think that people criticized that Rupert during Survivor Pearl Islands that, he wasn't that great. I think that Sean Cohen was saying during the finale of that season. Can you think of somebody like that? Why would Survivor bend over backwards to try to give Shireen such a great edit? I mean, they didn't always show her to have a great edit this season.
Well, I will say that the one thing they did show her saying to Will, she sort of got to him about, you call yourself a man of God. And I thought that was pretty personal and offensive. But, that's still, she can still say that and be a victim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know, but yeah, that's okay. My take.
Interesting. Do any of you guys subscribe to the idea that Shireen is saying very horrible things and that the show is editing them out for whatever reason? I just think that seems implausible here. Even if Shireen goes on to win, I don't feel like Survivor does this. If this was The Amazing Race, I would say, okay, I'd buy that a bit more. But I don't think that Survivor has gone to such great lengths to sort of really just endear us to the winners of this season and never show us any of their flaws. I mean, look at Tony Vlachos, who used to complain like, why didn't I get the Kim Spradlin edit? Why do they show all the times where I screw up or I make mistakes? Because it was good TV. I mean, and I don't think Survivor cares who the winner is. I really don't. I think The Amazing Race does, but I don't think Survivor really cares if we like the winners or not.
Well, one thing I will say is that it was clear from one of Shireen's secret scenes this week that she and Will have been having issues with each other for a while. And that hasn't been shown at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Shireen is my favorite person on this season. Let me be straight about mm-hmm. this. But I think it's entirely possible she's been, I mean, maybe she swears a lot,
Right.
So, and that's why we're not seeing her. But yeah, I think it's entirely possible she said some nasty things and that just hasn't made it to episode. But I, as I said before, she can be a victim and say bad things.
Okay. So. Let's take another question. This is from Connor Gardner. I feel like Will was pretty tame at first and just said stuff about her complaining when he was doing something nice. And then the more he went at her, the more agitated he got and ended up saying disgusting stuff I'm sure he regrets. Well, the question is, I don't believe Will has demonstrated any regret. And I know we talked about that earlier, but does anybody here on the panel at this point have any reason to believe Will regrets anything that was said?
No.
I mean,
not at all.
Yeah, I think Dan has, you know, made some efforts to walk back some of the things that he said, whether they've been convincing arguments or not, or those attempts have been received well. But I don't get the sense that Will has at all tried to take any of this stuff back. From T-Dub, what's about the opinion of when Corinne called Sugar an uneducated leech on society who needs antidepressants to deal with her dead father? I believe that, and I don't have the exact quote, but I recently watched that finale of Gabon, and I believe that she told her to potentially take enough antidepressants, in so many words, to be the end of Sugar. So we talked about the incident with Cass and with Trish. Does anybody see any similarities between what Corinne said to Sugar in Survivor Gabon at any point?
Oh, I think what Corinne said to Sugar was terrible. It felt completely different to me. Yeah. But I hated Corinne during Gabon. I remember that. And that kind of thing was a big part of why. But yeah, so I don't know if I can comment on that because I don't remember Gabon that well. I know with the Trish and Cass thing, I was unsurprisingly absolutely in Cass's corner on that one. And I remember this whole controversy about Cass flipping the bird. And I was like, yes, damn well she should flip the bird. Did you hear what Trish said to her? So yeah, that was, I mean, yeah, I think the Cass and Trish thing is pretty similar to what happened without the added unfortunate case of past history.
Yeah, and I actually, you know, I watched that scene that Trish literally says to Cass, like, oh, you're always the victim, Cass, you know, and it's a similar situation where somebody who's sort of in a down, you know, down in the numbers, who is being picked on by somebody who's in the majority alliance, who's going off on them, and the reactions at the time are actually somewhat similar. So I think there is some similarity there, but it's just interesting to note the differences in the gender there, and all part of a very fascinating conversation. All right, let's take this from Nolan. Nolan says, I don't think that Will's acts were acts of misogyny. They were more acts of bullying. He didn't say those things because of the fact that she was a woman. He said them because a lot of the tribe perceives her as annoying, and the fact he was trying to defend himself. So, Shani, let me just go back to this. I mean, is there any defense for Will? Like, hey, I said those things to Shireen because I hate Shireen. Jen, I told, you know, Jen told me in her exit interview that he was cool with Jen. So does the fact that he didn't go off on Jen or any of the other women, is that a defense at all for him?
I don't think so. Because just because you're nice to one person doesn't mean that you can't have feelings of sexism or racism or whatever it may be.
Let me just play devil's advocate. But just because he's rude to one woman, does that inherently mean that he is, sexist or misogynist or any of these other labels that we've heard over the last couple of days?
Well, that's a good question. It's possible that he's not. I'm willing to accept that possibility.
Because I just feel like what I want to make sure we don't lose in this conversation is that, you know, these are all like three-dimensional people, and I'm sure that the four of us could go out after this. I'm sure with Will Sims and probably have a beer and have a very nice time. I'm sure he'd be very endearing. Even though he did these things, I just think that, you know, that's just what's so dangerous about these conversations, that, this guy is X, and that's, you know, what he is forever. And, he did these things, And it's just, it's tough. It's a very hard conversation, Shandy.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. Definitely. And I think, just like you said, this is one incident that happened between him and Shireen. And I think for me, I guess part of what triggered my response is just seeing, like I said before, just seeing so many of these different incidences throughout the season.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is why I like to use the term gender bias rather than misogyny, because I think it's more a more pervasive cultural thing that's grown up. Right? So you may not directly be a woman hater, but you may be reacting unconsciously to things that have been instilled in us through culture. And that applies to women as well.
Absolutely.
Heather, could you speak to that? I mean, how much can we take away from one incident that we've seen on the TV show to be able to tell, is that the tip of the iceberg or was this just an aberration?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that we know, obviously, even a small percentage of what goes on out there. There's so many other things that are happening. I don't know that I would call him a misogynist just from that experience. I don't know. I do think it's the tip of the iceberg of what's going on out there. However, I do agree that there have been a lot of, you know, misogynistic things in this season. I don't know if that incident in itself was particularly misogynistic. However, he didn't go after Mike. I was just thinking about that, how, you know, he went directly to Shireen. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's anything about male and female or just he didn't like her as a person versus Mike was friendlier. I don't really know.
Yeah. So no easy answers on any of this stuff.
Jen said in her interview that he went to Mike and Shireen, but he left her alone. I seem to recall, Rob.
Yes, because they had had a background from all being on the No Collar tribe together.
Yeah. So
okay. Perishable Record says, why is Lindsay's blatant attack on Mike's religion early in the season not an issue? I believe she called out Mike for like, hey, how do you think this fire got here? What do you think? Your God made it for you? No, I did it. We had to work. Is that just muddying this conversation to bring up Lindsay attacking Mike on his religion? What do you think, Shandy?
Well, I mean, when that happened, I even said I don't think that's great. You know, that seems unnecessary for her game. It was obviously not good on a personal level.
That we did the live know-it-alls that night, and she was booed when she said that.
Yeah, it's not something that was very becoming. But you know, again, the way that she was treated was also not fair. excuse me, by Rodney. But now we're mixing a couple of different things up. I don't think anyone was really defending that. And yeah, I think that is inappropriate on her part, but it's not the same kind of thing. It's a somewhat of a personal attack, but there's not that power dynamic between them. It's just different if it's coming from her. And again, I'm not saying it's okay if it's coming from her, but it is different.
Okay. This is from Nick. Nick wants to say, the most disgusting thing is that Dana will show no regrets. They're horrible people. I don't want to Nick can say that, feel free. I'm not going to condemn either of them as being, you know, horrible people. There's just, you know, people are very layered people and they did stuff that was very ugly during this season, but I'm not willing to, to put that label out there. Let's take one from Saren Fan 456. This episode made me have a higher amount of respect for women. I'm a guy, and after watching Will, I really don't ever want my future wife to go through that situation. I hope to never treat her that way. I've been bullied before and felt like that it was and the end of that question is cut off, but I think that we get the point there. I think that again there is hopefully some good that comes out of all this ugliness that we end up seeing. Just to give you the end of that question, it is that I would never say that stuff to anyone, and it sucks that Shireen went through it. Yeah, I mean, I don't think that anybody is saying, anything different. Maddie Shore, actually, or I can't say that, but we hope not. Maddie Shore says, was Will insulting Shireen because he thought that she was inferior because of her gender, or was he just bullying her because he thought that she was inferior for other reasons? Heather, do you have a take on that?
I just don't think there's a way that we can know for sure. There's been a lot of references to people not liking her out there. I don't know if that's one of the reasons that happened. I don't know Will. I don't know his background. I don't know his feelings on women. I just got a very clear picture of his feelings on Shireen personally. So I don't think we can know.
Okay. Let's take another question. This is from Soren Crane. Even if the Will Shireen fight hadn't happened, I really appreciate these topics being brought up and talked about. It's a difficult topic. Great choice of guests. Yes. Well, but just for the record, we're not ready to wrap up just yet, but all of you guys have done an outstanding job tonight, and I really appreciate all the insights that you've brought to this panel, and I think a lot of other people do too. This is from Brandon. Although Shireen's emotions at Tribal Council were probably 100% honest, there are good reasons to exposing vulnerability and emotion in front of the jury. Do you believe that there was some strategy behind her emotions? Why or why not? I'll leave this to Sarah. What do you think, Sarah?
I think Shireen is enough of a fan that she is always going to have the game in her mind, but it's going to be tough to separate what is strategy and what is emotion. And I don't think there's a whole lot of point in dwelling on it, to be honest. I think, yeah, she probably did want to explain to the jury as well her side of it. She wanted to say, look, this is why I am reacting like this. This is why I didn't let Will have his letter. So don't let him paint this other picture of me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she was going to say that anyway.
Okay. Let me ask this question to Shandy. This is from Nathaniel Talata, who says, do you think that the misogyny that's being displayed on the show is actually just a reflection of the misogyny in the general public? Do you feel like that this slice of 18 people that were cast on the show, do you feel like, is that an accurate depiction of what you think the actual, this was a season about white collar versus blue collar versus no collar. We've seen, you know, how the blue collar people talk to Shireen. We've seen it from the no collar people. The white collar people have been, you know, largely, for the most part, they've been free of these issues, to this point. Do you think, is there anything to that? Is there anything that, you know, this is, you know, an accurate depiction of what's going on outside of Survivor?
I think, unfortunately, it is a reflection of what goes on outside of Survivor and society at large. But I don't think that it's necessarily a matter of white collar, blue
small
collar,
sample size.
Or no collar. No, I don't think it really matters what collar you are. I think in all of the various collars, we see a lot of sexism going on. And so, yes, unfortunately, I do think that this is a reflection of society at large. And I think that we see that also with, a lot of the ways that Jeff reacts a lot of times. I think that as well adds into that conversation and that that sort of slice of society. That's really unfortunate.
Okay. Here's another question from Oberkassler 23. Although he didn't regret what he said by the time he got to Tribal Council, he reinforced it. That's what really got to me. Do you guys think that it was we've talked about how they don't regret it, but the fact that he had an opportunity to take back what he said at Tribal Council, I honestly thought when we got to the immunity challenge, I thought when Jeff was saying like, Will, is everything okay? I thought he was going to say, you know what, Jeff, I said some bad things to Shireen. I'd like to apologize in front of everybody for what I said. I honestly thought that's what he was going to say. Shandy, you're nodding your head. Is that what you thought?
I absolutely thought that too. And I was thinking, oh, great. But I guess we were both a little naive there.
Yes.
And
and then also I think what was upsetting to other people, that I believe that Will tweeted on like Wednesday, like, oh, make sure you have your popcorn tonight. Like don't miss this. This is going to be...
Yeah, and that's something else that I'm not really a fan of here, where you have to think that Will really doesn't get it still, because saying that we need to get our popcorn and sit down to watch this wonderful thing that's going to play out, that's, you know, going to be fireworks and everything. I don't think so, because what we're really watching is a very personal attack.
Okay.
And that it's not good entertainment, I don't think.
Let's take one more question from R. Philly. Says, is the timing of Will's explosion relevant? The fact that he was attacked while her friends were not there. Is there anything to that, that the fact that she was alone, she didn't have any of her allies there, that was why he ultimately ended up going for her? Heather, did you read anything into that?
I didn't at the time, but now that you're saying it, I could definitely see that. I mean, if we are going with the misogynistic train of thought, she's a smaller woman. She was by herself. She didn't have Mike, who's a lot bigger, to defend her and help her. Yeah, that could have been relevant for sure.
Okay. So I want to start to wrap this up, but I just want to make sure there's not anything that we didn't get to cover in this conversation. I know we could easily go on for another couple of hours about this, but Heather, is there anything that that you'd like to say in closing about this from your perspective?
No, I'm really excited to see what happens. I like Shireen a lot, and I'm happy that she's brought light to these issues and that we're talking about it, that there's more dialogue. I think it's actually a good thing in the end.
Sarah, what about you? Anything else about this, and where do you think we go from here?
I just sort of going back to what you said earlier about not wanting to bag on these people. Honestly, I think it's important not to get too much on the Will and Dan hate train, because I do believe very strongly that they are not unusual, and they are an example of, you know, perfectly decent people capable of having terrible lapses of judgment and saying terrible things, and we all have that capacity. I think it's a far better case to realize ourselves that we can be bullies and to try and avoid that scenario. As to where we go from here, I am a bit worried about what the post-tribal council fallout is going to be next episode, and I hope there is a lot more sympathy to Shireen, but she's going back to a group that likes Will better than her, and I don't know what we're going to see.
Yeah. Sarah, you make a good point. I think it's important to remember we're seeing these people under the worst of circumstances. In the case of Will in particular, he might have eaten a bunch of beef jerky and had his electrolytes up to snuff, but it's still, you know, dire circumstances out there. And he may have also been on a sort of an emotional, on tilt after he didn't get his letters, and everybody else did. So, you know, you are at your word, not to make excuses, but I'm just saying that you're at your lowest of lows sometimes out there on Survivor. All right, Shani, in closing, is there anything else that you want to get out there?
Just that I agree with what you're saying about Will, and it'll be interesting to see how he handles it next episode. But unfortunately, since we know a little bit about what's going on Twitter after the fact, I don't have high hopes for how that's going to play out. But I think that we do need to address somebody, especially like Dan, who it's maybe not quite the same thing, where we've seen him on multiple occasions do this. And just like Sarah said, he's maybe not unusual. And I think that in and of itself is actually cause for concern. If that's the sort of norm that's out there, then maybe we need to take a look at ourselves.
All right. Great job, everybody on the panel. So let me just go down the list, and in case anybody wants to get a hold of you guys on Twitter. Heather, are you on Twitter?
Not very much, but I do have a Twitter account.
What's your handle?
Heather Cozen, Cozen.
Okay. Heather, all at one word, at Heather Cozen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then Sarah, you are at Channon Sarah. Is that right?
That's right. Channon Sarah.
Okay. And then Shandy, what is your Twitter handle?
You can find me at Shandy Lamperle. And that last name is Lemperle.
Okay. You guys did a fantastic job tonight here on the panel. Kudos to you guys for being able to handle a very difficult subject with really great grace. And I appreciate it so much. I've got a quick turnaround tonight to talk about the good kind of misogyny coming up on Game of Thrones, the kind of misogyny that we can all sit back and enjoy without any of these difficult issues. Now, in all seriousness, Josh Wigler and I will be back in a little bit, 10:15 p.m. Eastern, will be your Game of Thrones live podcast on post-show recaps. Hope you can join us then. And we're looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments. I implore, if you are hearing the sound of my voice, I welcome the discussion in the comments, but please, let's not bring any of the issues that we're talking about, like the bullying, like the verbal abuse. Heather, what do you call people that are abusive to other people on message board forums?
Cyberbullying.
Cyberbullying. No cyberbullying, please. Hear everybody out. Say what you have to say, but don't tell the other people that they're stupid or that they're wrong, because everybody's entitled to have an opinion. And I hope that we can have a nice discourse about this, but I'm going to keep my fingers crossed. And thank you guys so much for your time. Thanks for joining us on a special edition of the podcast. And we'll be back. So much to get to this upcoming week on Rob as a Podcast. I recorded the Spicin' Hour earlier today. I've got a podcast with the actor Scott Porter from Friday Night Lights and Heart of Dixie. We talked about a lot of these issues as well with Scott. He has an interesting take on that as well. And then we'll get into everything from Survivor this upcoming Wednesday with our recap with Sandra Diaz-Twine. So lots to do this week. Hope you subscribe to the podcast, robiswebsite.com/iTunes. Have a great night, everybody. Talk to you soon. Bye.